When Herod, I, the first ruler of foreign blood, became king, the prophecy of Moses received its fulfillment, according to which there should not be wanting a prince of Judah, nor a ruler from his loins, until he come for whom it is reserved to. The latter, he also shows, was to be the expectation of the nations. 3:2. This prediction remained unfulfilled, so long as it was permitted them to live under rulers from their own nation, that is, from the time of Moses to the reign of Augustus. Under the latter, Herod, the first foreigner, was given the kingdom of the Jews by the Romans, as Josephus relates. 4. He was an Idumean. 5. On his father's side an Arabian, on his mother's but a Africanus. 6. Who was also no common writer, says that they who were more accurately informed about him report that he was a son of Antipater, and that the latter was the son of a certain Herod of Ascalon. 7. One of the so-called servants. 8. Of the temple of Apollo. 3. This Antipater, having been taken a prisoner while a boy by Idumean robbers, lived with them, because his father, being a poor man, was unable to pay a ransom for him. Growing up in their practices, he was afterward befriended by Hyrcanus. 9. The high priest of the Jews. A son of his was that Herod who lived in the times of our Savior. 10. 4. When the kingdom of the Jews had devolved upon such a man, the expectation of the nations was, according to prophecy, already at the door. 4. With him their princes and governors, who had ruled in regular succession from the time of Moses, came to an end. 5. Before their captivity and their transportation to Babylon, they were ruled by Saul first, and then by David, and before the king's leaders governed them who were called judges, and who came after Moses and his successor Jesus. 6. After their return from Babylon, they continued to have without interruption an aristocratic form of government, with an oligarchy, for the priests had the direction of affairs until Pompey, the Roman general, took Jerusalem by force, and defiled the holy places, by entering the very innermost sanctuary of the temple. 11. Aristobulus, 12, who, by the right of ancient succession, had been up to that time both king and high priest, he sent with his children in chains to Rome, and gave to Hyrcanus, brother of Aristobulus, the high priesthood, while the whole nation of the Jews was made tributary to the Romans from that time. 13. 7. But Hyrcanus, who was the last of the regular line of high priests, was, very soon afterward, taken prisoner by the Parthians. 14. And Herod, the first foreigner, as I have already said, was made king of the Jewish nation by the Roman Senate and by Augustus. 8. Under him Christ appeared in bodily shape, and the expected salvation of the nations and their calling followed in accordance with prophecy. 15. From this time the princes and rulers of Judah, I mean of the Jewish nation, came to an end, and as a natural consequence the order of the high priesthood, which from ancient times had proceeded regularly in closest succession from generation to generation, was immediately thrown into confusion. 16. 9. Of these things Josephus is also a witness. 17. Who shows that, when Herod was made king by the Romans, he no longer appointed the high priests from the ancient line, but gave the honor to certain obscure persons. A course similar to that of Herod in the appointment of the priests was pursued by his son Archelaus. 18. And after him by the Romans, who took the government into their own hands. 19. 10. The same writer shows. 20. That Herod was the first that locked up the sacred garment of the high priest under his own seal, and refused to permit the high priests to keep it for themselves. The same course was followed by Archelaus after him, and after Archelaus by the Romans. 11. These things have been recorded by us in order to show that another prophecy has been fulfilled in the appearance of our Savior Jesus Christ. For the scripture, in the book of Daniel, 21, having expressly mentioned a certain number of weeks until the coming of Christ, of which we have treated in other books, 22, most clearly prophesies that after the completion of those weeks the unction among the Jews should totally perish. And this, it has been clearly shown, was fulfilled at the time of the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. This has been necessarily premised by us as a proof of the correctness of the time. Chapter 5.ii The alleged discrepancy in the Gospels in regard to the genealogy of Christ. 1. Matthew and Luke in their Gospels have given us the genealogy of Christ differently, and many suppose that they are at variance with one another, since as a consequence every believer, in ignorance of the truth, has been zealous to invent some explanation which shall harmonize the two passages. Permit us to subjoin the account of the matter which has come down to us. 1. And which is given by Africanus, who was mentioned by us just above, in his epistle to Aristides. 2. Where he discusses the harmony of the gospel genealogies. After refuting the opinions of others as forced and deceptive, he gave the account which he had received from tradition. 3. In these words too: For whereas the names of the generations were reckoned in Israel either according to nature, or according to law, according to nature by the succession of legitimate offspring, and according to law, whenever another raised up a child to the name of a brother dying childless. 4. For because a clear hope of resurrection was not yet given, they had a representation of the future promise by a kind of mortal resurrection. in order that the name of the one deceased might be perpetuated. 3. Whereas then some of those who are inserted in this genealogical table succeeded by natural descent, the son to the father, while others, no born of one father, were ascribed by name to another. Mention was made of both of those who were progenitors in fact, and of those who were so only in name. 4. Thus neither of the Gospels is in error, for one reckons by nature, the other by law. For the line of descent from Solomon and but from Nathan 5, were so involved, the one with the other, by the raising up of children to the childless, and by second marriages, that the same persons are justly considered to belong at one time to one, at another time to another, that is, at one time to the reputed fathers, at another to the actual fathers. So that both these accounts are strictly true, and come down to Joseph with considerable intricacy indeed, yet quite accurately. 5. But in order that what I have said may be made clear, I shall explain the interchange of the generations. If we reckon the generations from David through Solomon, the third from the end is found to be Matthan, who begot Jacob the father of Joseph. But if, with Luke, we reckon them from Nathan the son of David, in like manner the third from the end is Melchi. 6. Whose son Eli was the father of Joseph, for Joseph was the son of Eli, the son of Melchi. 6. Joseph therefore being the object proposed to us, it must be shown how it is that each is recorded to be his father, both Jacob, who derived his descent from Solomon, and Eli, who derived his from Nathan. First, how it is that these two, Jacob and Eli, were brothers, and then how it is that their fathers, Matthan and Melchi, although of different families, are declared to be grandfathers of Joseph. 7. Matthan and Melchi having married in succession the same woman, begot children who were uterine brothers, for the law did not prohibit a widow, whether such by divorce, or by the death of their husband, from marrying another. 8. But as the 7, then for this was the woman's name according to tradition, Matthan, a descendant of Solomon, first begot Jacob. And when Matthan was dead, Melchi, who traced his descent back to Nathan, being of the same tribate, but of another family, 9, married her as before said, and begot a son Eli. 9. Thus we shall find the two, Jacob and Eli, although belonging to different families, yet brethren by the same mother. Of these the one, Jacob, when his brother Eli had died childless, took the latter's wife, and begot by her a son to Joseph, his own son by nature and in accordance with reason. Wherefore also it is written Jacob begot Joseph 12, but according to law 13, he was the son of Eli, for Jacob, being the brother of the latter, raised up seed to him. 10. Hence the genealogy traced through him will not be rendered void, which the evangelist Matthew in his enumeration, give us Jacob begot Joseph. But Luke, on the other hand, says who was the son, as was supposed 14, for this he also adds, or Joseph, the son of Eli, the son of Melchi, for he could not more clearly express the generation according to law, and the expression he begot he has omitted in his genealogical table up to the end, tracing the genealogy back to Adam the son of God. This interpretation is neither incapable of proof, nor is it an idle conjecture. 15:11. For the relatives of our Lord according to the flesh, whether with the desire of boasting, or simply wishing to state the fact, in either case truly, have banded down the following accounts. 16, some Idumean robbers, 17, having attacked Ascalon, a city of Palestine, carried away from a temple of Apollo which stood near the walls, in addition to other booty. Antipater, son of a certain temple slave named Herod, and since the priest 18, was not able to pay the ransom for his son, Antipater was brought up in the customs of the Idumeans, and afterward was befriended by Hyrcanus, the high priest of the Jews. 12, and having been sent by Hyrcanus on an embassy to Pompey, and having restored to him the kingdom which had been invaded by his brother Aristobulus, he had the good fortune to be named procurator of Palestine. 19. But Antipater having been slain by those who were envious of his great good fortune. 20. Was succeeded by his son Herod, who was afterward, by a decree of the Senate, made king of the Jews. 21. Under Antony and Augustus. His sons were Herod and the other tetrarchs. 22. These accounts agree also with those of the Greeks. 23. 13. But as there had been kept in the archives. 24. Up to that time the genealogies of the Hebrews as well as of those who traced their lineage back to proselytes. 25. Such as Achir. 26. The Ammonite and Ruth the Moabitess, and to those who were mingled with the Israelites, and came out of Egypt with them, Herod, inasmuch as the lineage of the Israelites contributed nothing to his advantage, and since he was goaded with the consciousness of his own ignoble extraction, burned all the genealogical records. 27. Thinking that he might appear of noble origin, if no one else were able, from the public registers, to trace back his lineage to the patriarchs or proselytes, and to those mingled with them, who were called Jori 28:14. A few of the careful, however, having obtained private records of their own, either by remembering the names, or by getting them in some other way from the registers, pride themselves on preserving the memory of their noble extraction. Among these are those already mentioned, called Disponsini, 29, on account of their connection with the family of the Savior coming from Nazareth and Kochaba, 30, villages of Judea, 31, into other parts of the world, they drew the aforesaid genealogy from memory 32, and from the book of daily records 33, as faithfully as possible. 15. Whether than the case stand thus or not, no one could find a clearer explanation, according to my own opinion and that of every candid person. And let this suffice us, for, although we can urge no testimony in its support, 34, we have nothing better nor truer to offer. In any case, the gospel states the truth, and at the end of the same epistle he adds these words: Matthan, who was descended from Solomon, begot Jacob. And when Matthan was dead, Melchi, who was descended from Nathan, begot Eli by the same woman. Eli and Jacob were thus uterine brothers. Eli having died childless, Jacob raised up seed to him, begetting Joseph, his own son by nature, but by law the son of Eli. Thus Joseph was the son of both. 17. Thus far Africanus and the lineage of Joseph being thus traced, Mary also is virtually shown to be of the same tribe with him, since, according to the law of Moses, intermarriages between different tribes were not permitted. 35. For the command is to marry one of the same family. 36. And lineage, 37, so that the inheritance may not pass from tribe to tribe. This may suffice here. Chapter 5.II. The cruelty of Herod toward the infants, and the manner of his death. 1. When Christ was born, according to the prophecies, in Bethlehem of Judea, at the time indicated, Herod was not a little disturbed by the inquiry of the Magi who came from the east, asking where he who was born King of the Jews was to be found, for they had seen his star, and this was their reason for taking so long a journey, for they earnestly desired to worship the infant as God, when for he imagined, that his kingdom might be endangered. And he inquired therefore of the doctors of the law, who belonged to the Jewish nation, where they expected Christ to be born. When he learned that the prophecy of Micah 2 announced that Bethlehem was to be his birthplace, he commanded, in a single edict, all the male infants in Bethlehem, and all its borders, that were 2 years of age or less, according to the time which he had accurately ascertained from the Magi, to be slain, supposing that Jesus, as was indeed likely, would share the same fate as the others of his own age too. But the child anticipated the snare, being carried into Egypt by his parents, who had learned from an angel that appeared unto them what was about to happen. These things are recorded by the Holy Scriptures in the Gospel 3:3. It is worthwhile, in addition to this, to observe the reward which Herod received for his daring crime against Christ and those of the same age, for immediately, without least delay, the divine vengeance overtook him, while he was still alive, and gave him a foretaste of what he was to receive after death. For it is not possible to relate here how he tarnished the supposed felicity of his reign by successive calamities in his family, by the murder of wife and children, and others of his nearest relatives and dearest friends. For the account, which casts every other tragic drama into the shade, is detailed at length in the histories of Josephus 5:5. How, immediately after his crime against our Savior and the other infants, the punishment sent by God drove him unto his death, we can best learn from the words of that historian who, in the 17th book of his Antiquities of the Jews, writes as follows concerning his end. 6:6. But the disease of Herod grew more severe, God inflicting punishment for his crimes. For a slow fire burned in him which was not so apparent to those who touched him, but augmented his internal distress, for he had a terrible desire for food which it was not possible to resist. He was affected also with ulceration of the intestines, and with especially severe pains in the colon, while the watery and transparent humor settled about his feet. 7. He suffered also from a similar trouble in his abdomen. Nay more, his privy member was putrefied and produced worms. He found also excessive difficulty in breathing, and it was particularly disagreeable, because of the offensiveness of the odor and the rapidity of respiration. 8. He had convulsions also in every limb, which gave him uncontrollable strength. It was said, indeed, by those who possessed the power of divination and wisdom to explain such events, that God had inflicted this punishment upon the king on account of his great impiety. 9. The writer mentioned above recounts these things in the work referred to, and in the second book of his history he gives a similar account of the same Herod, which runs as follows. 7. The disease then seized upon his whole body, and distracted it by various torments, for he had a slow fever, and the itching of the skin of his whole body was insupportable. He suffered also from continuous pains in his colon, and there were swellings on his feet like those of a person suffering from dropsy, while his abdomen was inflamed, and his privy member so putrefied as to produce worms. Besides this, he could breathe only in an upright posture, and then only with difficulty, and he had convulsions in all his limbs, so that the diviner said that his diseases were a punishment. 8:10. But he, although wrestling with such sufferings, nevertheless clung to life, and hoped for safety, and devised methods of cure. For instance, crossing over Jordan, he used the warm baths at Calarho, 9, which flow into the lake Asphaltites, 10, but are themselves sweet enough to drink. 11. His physicians here thought that they could warm his whole body again by means of heated oil. But when they had let him down into a tub filled with oil, his eyes became weak, and turned up like the eyes of a dead person. But when his attendants raised an outcry, he recovered at the noise. But finally, despairing of a cure, he commanded about 50 drachmas to be distributed among the soldiers, and great sums to be given to his generals and friends. 12. Then returning, he came to Jericho, where, being seized with melancholy, he planned to commit an impious deed, as if challenging death itself. 4. Collecting from every town the most illustrious men of all Judea, he commanded that they be shut up in the so-called Hippodrome. 13. And having summoned Salome, 11, his sister, and her husband, Alexander, 12, he said, "I know that the Jews will rejoice at my death, but I may be lamented by others, and have a splendid funeral, if you are willing to perform my commands. When I shall expire, surround these men, who are now under guard, as quickly as possible with soldiers, and slay them, in order that all Judea, and every house may weep for me even against their will." 13, and after a little Josephus says, 14, and again he was so tortured by want of food, and by a convulsive cough that, overcome by his pains, he planned to anticipate his fate. Taking an apple, he asked also for a knife, for he was accustomed to cut apples and eat them. Then looking round to see that there was no one to hinder, he raised his right hand, as if to stab himself. 14, 15. In addition to these things, the same writer records that he slew another of his own sons. 13, before his death, the third one slain by his command, and that immediately afterward he breathed his last, not without excessive pain. 16. Such was the end of Herod, who suffered a just punishment for his slaughter of the children of Bethlehem. 16. Which was the result of his plots against our Savior. 17. After this, an angel appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, and commanded him to go to Judea with the child and its mother, revealing to him that those who had sought the life of the child were dead. 17. To this the evangelist adds, but when he heard that Archelaus did reign in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He turned aside into the parts of Galilee. 18. Chapter 1. Text: The times of Pilate. 1. The historian already mentioned agrees with the evangelist in regard to the fact that Archelaus 1 succeeded to the government after Herod. He records the manner in which he received the kingdom of the Jews by the will of his father Herod, and by the decree of Caesar Augustus, and how, after he had reigned 10 years, he lost his kingdom, and his brothers Philip 2 and Herod the younger, 3, with Lysanias, 4, still ruled their own tetrarchies. The same writer, in the 18th book of his Antiquities, 5, says that about the 12th year of the reign of Tiberius, 6, who had succeeded to the empire after Augustus had ruled 57 years, 7, Pontius Pilate was entrusted with the government of Judea, and that he remained there 10 full years, almost until the death of Tiberius. 2. Accordingly, the forgery of those who have recently given currency to acts against our Savior, 8, is clearly proved, for the very date given in them, 9, shows the falsehood of their fabricators. 3. For the things which they have dared to say concerning the passion of the Savior are put into the fourth consulship of Tiberius, which occurred in the 7th year of his reign, at which time it is plain that Pilate was not yet ruling in Judea, if the testimony of Josephus is to be believed, who clearly shows in the above-mentioned work 10, that Pilate was made procurator of Judea by Tiberius in the 12th year of his reign. Chapter 10. The high priests of the Jews under whom Christ taught. 1. It was in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius, 1, according to the evangelist, and in the 4th year of the governorship of Pontius Pilate, 2, while Herod and Lysanias and Philip were ruling the rest of Judea, 3, that our Savior and Lord, Jesus the Christ of God, being about 30 years of age, 4, came to John for baptism, and began the promulgation of the gospel. 2. The divine scripture says, moreover, that he passed the entire time of his ministry under the high priests Annas and Caiaphas. 5. Showing that in the time which belonged to the priesthood of those two men, the whole period of his teaching was completed. Since he began his work during the high priesthood of Annas, and taught until Caiaphas held the office, the entire time does not comprise quite 4 years. 3. For the rites of the law having been already abolished since that time, the customary usages in connection with the worship of God, according to which the high priest acquired his office by hereditary descent, and held it for life, were also annulled, and there were appointed to the high priesthood by the Roman governors now one and now another person who continued in office not more than 1 year. 6. 4. Josephus relates that there were 4 high priests in succession from monastic Caiaphas. Thus in the same book of the Antiquities 7, he writes as follows: Valerius Gratus 8, having put an end to the priesthood of Ananus 9, appoints Ishmael 10, the son of Fabi, high priest, and having removed him after a little he appoints Eleazar 11, the son of Ananus the high priest, to the same office, and having removed him also at the end of a year he gives the high priesthood to Simon 12, the son of Caiaphas, but he likewise held the honor no more than a year. When Josephus, called also Caiaphas, 13, succeeded him, accordingly the whole time of our Savior's ministry is shown to have been not quite 4 full years. 4 high priests, from Annas to the accession of Caiaphas, having held office a year each. The Gospel therefore has rightly indicated Caiaphas as the high priest under whom the Savior suffered, from which also we can see that the time of our Savior's ministry does not disagree with the foregoing investigation. 5. Our Savior and Lord, not long after the beginning of his ministry, called the 12 apostles, 14, and these alone of all his disciples he named apostles, as an especial honor. And again he appointed 70 others whom he sent out 2 by 2 before his face into every place and city whither he himself was about to come. 15. Chapter 10. I testimonies in regard to John the Baptist and Christ. 1. Not long after this John the Baptist was beheaded by the younger Herod. 1. As is stated in the Gospels 2. Josephus also records the same fact. 3. Making mention of Herodias 4, by name, and stating that, although she was the wife of his brother, Herod made her his own wife, after divorcing his former lawful wife, who was the daughter of Herodias, 5, king of Petra, and separating Herodias from their husband, while he was still alive. 2. It was on her account also, that he slew John, and waged war with Herodias, because of the disgrace inflicted on the daughter of the latter. Josephus relates that in this war, when they came to battle, Herod's entire army was destroyed. 6. And that he suffered this calamity on account of his crime against John. 3. The same Josephus confesses in this account that John the Baptist was an exceedingly righteous man, and thus agrees with the things written of him in the Gospels. He records also, that Herod lost his kingdom on account of the same Herodias, and that he was driven into banishment with her, and condemned to live at Vienna in Gaul. 7. 4. He relates these things in the 18th book of the Antiquities, where he writes of John in the following words. 8. It seemed to some of the Jews, that the army of Herod was destroyed by God, who most justly avenged John called the Baptist. 5. For Herod slew him, a good man, and one who exhorted the Jews to come and receive baptism, practicing virtue and exercising righteousness toward each other, and toward God, for baptism would appear acceptable unto him, when they employed it, not for the remission of certain sins, but for the purification of the body, as the soul had been already purified in righteousness. 6. And when others gathered about him, for they found much pleasure in the listening to his words, Herod feared that his great influence might lead to some sedition, for they appeared ready to do whatever he might advise. He therefore considered it much better, before any new thing should be done under John's influence, to anticipate it by slaying him, than to repent after revolution had come. And when he found himself in the midst of difficulties. 9. On account of Herod's suspicion John was sent in bonds to the above-mentioned citadel of Matura. 10. And there slain. 7. After relating these things concerning John, he makes mention of our Savior in the same work, in the following words. 11. And there lived at that time Jesus, a wise man, if indeed it be proper to call him a man, for he was a doer of wonderful works, and a teacher of such men as received the truth in gladness. And he attached to himself many of the Jews, and many also of the Greeks. He was the Christ. 8. When Pilate, on the accusation of our principal men, condemned him to the cross, those who had loved him in the beginning did not cease loving him, for he appeared unto them again alive on the third day, the divine prophets having told these, and countless other wonderful things concerning him. Moreover, the race of Christians, named after him, continues down to the present day. 9. Since an historian, who is one of the Hebrews themselves, has recorded in his work these things concerning John the Baptist and our Savior, what excuse is there left for not convicting them of being destitute of all shame, who have forged the axe against them? 12. But let this suffice here. Chapter 10. The disciples of our Savior. 1. The names of the apostles of our Savior are known to everyone from the Gospels 1, but there exists no catalogue of the 70 disciples 2. Barnabas, indeed, is said to have been one of them, of whom the Acts of the Apostles makes mention in various places. 3. And especially Paul in his epistle to the Galatians 4. 2. They say that Sosthenes also, who wrote to the Corinthians with Paul, was one of them. 5. This is the account of Clement 6, in the 5th book of his Hippotyposes, in which he also says that Cephas was one of the 70 disciples. 7. A man who bore the same name as the Apostle Peter, and the one concerning whom Paul says, when Cephas came to Antioch I withstood him to his face. 8. 3. Matthias, 9, also, who was numbered with the apostles in the place of Judas, and the one who was honored, by being made a candidate with him. 10, are likewise said to have been deemed worthy of the same calling with the 70. They say that Thaddeus 11, also was one of them, concerning whom I shall presently relate an account which has come down to us 12, and upon examination you will find, that our Savior had more than 70 disciples, according to the testimony of Paul, who says that after his resurrection from the dead he appeared first to Cephas, then to the 12, and after them to above 500 brethren. At once, of whom some had fallen asleep 13, but the majority were still living at the time he wrote. Or afterwards he says he appeared unto James, who was one of the so-called brethren of the Savior 14, but, since in addition to these, there were many others who were called apostles, in imitation of the 12, as was Paul himself. He adds afterward he appeared to all the apostles 15, so much in regard to these persons. But the story concerning Thaddeus is as follows. Chapter 10.II Narrative concerning the Prince of the Edessenes. 1. The divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ being noised abroad among all men on account of his wonder-working power, he attracted countless numbers from foreign countries lying far away from Judea, who had the opening of being cured of their diseases, and of all kinds of sufferings. 2. For instance the king Abgarus, 1. Who ruled with great glory the nations beyond the Euphrates, being afflicted with a terrible disease which it was beyond the power of human skill to cure, when he heard of the name of Jesus, and of his miracles, which were attested by all with one accord sent a message to him by a courier, and begged him to heal his disease. 3. But he did not at that time comply with his request, yet he deemed him worthy of a personal letter in which he said, that he would send one of his disciples to cure his disease, and at the same time, promised salvation to himself and all his house. 4. Not long afterward his promise was fulfilled, for after his resurrection from the dead and his ascent into heaven, Thomas, 2, one of the 12 apostles, under divine impulse sent Thaddeus, who was also numbered among the 70 disciples of Christ, 3, to Edessa, 4, as a preacher and evangelist of the teaching of Christ, 5, and all that our Savior had promised to receive through him its fulfillment. You have written evidence of these things taken from the archives of Edessa, 5, which was at that time a royal city, or in the public registers there, which contain accounts of ancient times and the acts of Abgarus. These things have been found preserved down to the present time. But there is no better way than to hear the epistles themselves which we have taken from the archives, and have literally translated from the Syriac language 6, in the following manner. Copy of an epistle written by Abgarus the ruler to Jesus, 10 sent to him at Jerusalem by Ananias 7, the swift courier. 6. Abgarus, ruler of Edessa, to Jesus the excellent Savior who has appeared in the country of Jerusalem, greeting. I have heard the reports of thee, and of thy cures as performed by thee without medicines or herbs. For it is said, that thou makest the blind to see, and the lame to walk, that thou cleansest lepers and castest out impure spirits and demons, and that thou healest those afflicted with lingering disease, and raisest the dead. 7. And having heard all these things concerning thee, I have concluded, that one of two things must be true: either thou art God, and having come down from heaven thou doest these things, or else thou, who doest these things, art the Son of God. 8. I have therefore written to thee to ask thee, that thou wouldest take the trouble to come to me, and heal the disease which I have. For I have heard, that the Jews are murmuring against thee, and are plotting to injure thee. But I have a very small yet noble city which is great enough for us both. The answer of Jesus to the ruler Abgarus by the courier Ananias. 9. Blessed art thou who hast believed in me without having seen me. 9. For it is written concerning me, that they who have seen me will not believe in me, and that they who have not seen me will believe, and be saved. 10. But in regard to what thou hast written me, that I should come to thee, it is necessary for me to fulfill all things here for which I have been sent, and after I have fulfilled them thus to be taken up again to him that sent me. But after I have been taken up I will send to thee one of my disciples, that he may heal thy disease, and give life to thee. And 9. 10. To these epistles there was added the following account in the Syriac language. After the ascension of Jesus, Judas, 11, who was also called Thomas, sent to him Thaddeus, an apostle, 12, one of the 70. When he was come he lodged with Tobias, 13, the son of Tobias. When the report of him got abroad, it was told Abgarus, that an apostle of Jesus was come, as he had written him. 11. Thaddeus began then in the power of God to heal every disease and infirmity, insomuch that all wondered. And when Abgarus heard of the great and wonderful things which he did, and of the cures which he performed, he began to suspect that he was the one of whom Jesus had written him, saying, after I have been taken up I will send to thee one of my disciples who will heal thee. 12. Therefore, summoning Tobias, with whom Thaddeus lodged, he said, I have heard that a certain man of power has come, and his lodging in Nihaus. Bring him to me. And Tobias coming to Thaddeus said to him, The ruler Abgarus summoned me, and told me to bring thee to him, that thou mightest heal him. And Thaddeus said, I will go, for I have been sent to him with power. 13. Tobias therefore rose early on the following day, and taking Thaddeus came to Abgarus. And when he came, the nobles were present, and stood about Abgarus. And immediately upon his entrance a great vision appeared to Abgarus in the countenance of the apostle Thaddeus. When Abgarus saw it, he prostrated himself before Thaddeus, while all those who stood about were astonished, for they did not see the vision, which appeared to Abgarus alone. 14. He then asked Thaddeus, if he were in truth a disciple of Jesus the Son of God, who had said to him, I will send thee one of my disciples, who shall heal thee, and give thee life. And Thaddeus said, Because thou hast mightily believed in him that sent me, therefore have I been sent unto thee. And still further, if thou believest in him, the petitions of thy heart shall be granted thee as thou believest. 15.